sorry, yeah. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddha Shem Devati Vyanta Swami Tanamani Namaste Sarasvati Devati Charana Nivishesha Shem Vyadi Paschata Dusatayana. Thank you very much for coming today, and thank you for giving me this wonderful opportunity to speak today on Gita Jayanti. Gita Jayanti, as you all might know, is the day when Lord Krishna has spoken the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And he did this to speak to the entire world. Now, I got asked to give this lecture just yesterday evening, so what I did is basically listen to what different Maharajas have said about the Bhagavad Gita, such as Radhanand Maharaj, and I would like to basically speak about what he spoke about. So the Bhagavad Gita is pure knowledge because it comes from Krishna. And this knowledge is accepted by almost every acharya of every sampradaya. And why is this? Because this knowledge is practical. We can use this every day. But the question which I had at least in my mind when I read the Bhagavad Gita or hear about the Bhagavad Gita, when you open the Bhagavad Gita, the moment it starts, it's about the Kurukshetra, the place where the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. And why was it spoken in that place? And Radhanand Maharaj talks about the importance to understand why Krishna spoke in this place. So he says that the Kurukshetra is a place for holy ceremonies. In the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra. So, a place of holy ceremonies, where kings and sages would come and invoke blessings from the Lord. But on this particular occasion, when Krishna wanted to speak about the Bhagavad Gita, there was a war. A huge war. It was kind of like the world war at that time. And they had millions of soldiers face to face against each other. Basically, you don't have guns where you're from a distance and you're like, I don't really know what's happening, or you don't see the person's face, so it's impersonal. Nowadays, the war, killing people, is very impersonal. But back then, it was You were face to face with the opponent. You had to rely on your own strength, on your own power. So there was a great heavy atmosphere hanging at that time. But then why does Krishna suddenly want to speak about the Bhagavad Gita, about knowledge, about the truth of life? Why couldn't he just choose a forest where there would be sages and pure-hearted devotees who would be ready to listen to him and would give him all his attention and would actually love to hear about this? Why didn't he just give it in a secluded place? So Radhanand Maharaj explained that it was very important for Krishna to show the attitude which Arjuna had on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. If you look at Arjuna, he is this perfect devotee. He was always humble. If you read in the Mahabharata and you read about Arjuna, you hear about his wonderful qualities, about his amazing strength and his amazing talents that he had. And he was the most dear to Krishna. So somebody who's so dear to Krishna, who's always with Krishna, already has this knowledge, is actually already pure-hearted. So why did Krishna want to impart it to him? Right? So there's a small example that Radhanand Maharaj gave. And he said, for example, when Krishna said that on one side of this war, I will give my army, and on the other side, I will be there. But I will not pick up a weapon and I will not fight. So Duryodhan said, what use is that to me? I mean, he's not even going to fight, so that's of no use to me in this war. So he said, give me the army. And then Krishna went on Arjuna's side, and Arjuna said, I don't want your armies, I just want the blessings, right? And this is one of the illustrations why Krishna wanted to impart it to Arjuna, because he was the one who was open. Radhanan Maharaj says it really nicely in this, he says, knowledge is like a seed. He says, when the knowledge is planted in our heart, then through our spiritual practices and through the character of our life, we water that seed and make it grow into a beautiful sprout, and then a tree, and then the fruits of compassion and love of Godhead can manifest. But the field of our heart has to be fertile in order for that seed to take root. So then you have, for example, the verse Tatvidi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya. You have that verse about inquiring. And there is another verse, which is one of my favorites, which I wrote on this board here. It's Karpanya Doshapahata Svabhava Prichami Tvam Dharma Samoda Chetaha Yachreya Shah Nishitam Bruhitanme Shishyaste Aham Sharimam Tvam Prapannam. He says, now I'm confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. And this is the most important attitude to have when you want to receive knowledge. And this is the attitude that Arjuna showed to Krishna. So, in order for us to be receptive, Radhanan Maharaj says, we have to feel this sense of urgency. When we think we know, all the time we have this, you know, we're talking to each other. We're like, yeah, we know, I know about it, yes. You know, I don't need to hear about it again. Or, for example, some people say it's so repetitive to hear all the time, we're not this body, we're the spiritual soul, we're not this body, we're the spiritual soul. Why do we have to hear this all the time? We already know this, right? But then when we say we know, then we make our heart hard. And it's not easy to plow. When the earth is hard, it's very hard to plow and to make it fertile. So then when we realize that we need the help of the higher power of God's grace, then we can start receiving knowledge and accept it. So Krishna chose this very dramatic and exciting and dynamic and interesting place to actually tell the Bhagavad Gita. And if you look at it closely, it actually corresponds so much with the today world. Radhanan Maharaj was giving different explanations or examples of different demonstrations that are happening against corruption and financial greed and all these things that are happening nowadays, if you see, like, if you watch the news. And we just see that people, they know that something is going on. They know that there is a big storm coming, and they know that they have to do something, but they don't know on what level. We think that for example, you have a disease and you're coughing. So what do? We take some tea or some ginger and we think, yeah, that will reduce the cough. And then we get a different symptom, and then we treat that symptom. And like this, we just keep on treating symptoms, but we don't think about it, that there is something deeper that we have to treat. If we treat that, then we can actually just vanquish all the symptoms. So he says, Radhanan Maharaj says that these different problems that are happening nowadays. It looks like it's on this world level, but it's actually on a very deep level, and it's on the level of the heart. And this is why he says that it's very important to make yourself want to receive a knowledge. You want to make yourself soft in order for that seed to grow, because even though it might be the perfect seed, but if it doesn't have fertile ground, if it doesn't have soft ground, then it cannot grow. Right? So then we go back, because Krishna says, Radha Maharaj says, Krishna didn't need to speak to Arjuna because he was already a perfect soul. But he put him in such an illusion so that he could speak to him the knowledge which would spread through the entire world. He says, Daivi hiesha guna mai mama maya duratyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. There's this very, very sweet and nice thing that that Radhanath Maharaj said. He says, the obstacles in this material world is compared to an ocean of misery. But one who takes shelter of the Lord, of Murari, that ocean is reduced to the water contained in a hoof print of a tiny little calf. So, this nature is made in such a way that eventually our intelligence will tell us that we need shelter. So many times we felt like we don't know what to do, so we go to different people. For example, when we're small, I have a small niece, and when she doesn't know what to do or she doesn't understand something, then she goes to her mother or to her father or to me or to her grandmother, and she asks, why is this happening? And she is at this age, she's 3 years old, and she's at this age that she's asking about simply everything. Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? And that's because she wants to know, and she knows that she doesn't have the answer. And this is so nice, because if you look at it, children have such an innocence, right? Lokanath Maharaj says that when we chant, we should chant like a child cries out for his mother. Like, you know, the sincerity that a child has when he wants his mother. So basically, Krishna gave Arjun this knowledge because Arjun was ready for it. He wanted it. He says, I am now your disciple. Yeah. Then we look at, for example, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had such a compassion. He wanted that the Bhagavad Gita would be given to everybody in this world. For example, on Gita Jayanti, we have this thing of distributing the books, like Gaura said right before. He said, if you want to, you can come and get a free Bhagavad Gita. Because the knowledge is so pure and it's so important that we need to distribute this to everybody and to transform your lives. I was in Vrindavan in 2010, and it was Gita Jayanti, and I remember going to the Krishna Balaram Mandir, and there was this Mataji there, Radhakund Mataji, Prabhupada disciple, and she was distributing books in front of the temple, and she came to me and my friend, and she said, do you want to help distributing a book? And we said, yeah, sure. And she explained that when you distribute a Bhagavad Gita, and you look at the people, you know, like, okay, you have some people that are really funny. I'll tell that later. But some people, it feels like they transform their life because of the Bhagavad Gita. So I was like, okay, I want to help. I want to at least distribute one book. So I went to this one lady. She came to the Krishna Balaram temple with her whole family, and she was all dressed up. And because, you know, they come to the temple, they're very, you know, paka and everything like that. So then I said, Hare Krishna, would you like a Bhagavad Gita? And she's like, no, it's okay, I already know about it. And I said, wow, you already know about it, so can you tell me a little bit about it? Because today is Gita Jayanti, and I would like to hear about the Gita from a person who knows about it. And she said, well, you know, she came closer to me and she whispered in my ear, I actually don't really know it. I just kind of hear about it sometimes, and, you know, you go to the temple, and then they talk about it, and, you know, yeah, Krishna talks, I guess, or something. And I smiled at her, and I was like, so you never wanted to read it a little bit? And she's like, yes, I do, kind of, but not really, because I think that, you know, we already know it. As Hindu people, we know the Bhagavad Gita. We know everything inherently, basically. But that's not true. If you see, like, for example, I always look up to Maharajas and you know, senior devotees when they know so much. They know extremely, like, a lot, and still they're reading every day, and still they're inquiring about knowledge, and still they're talking and discussing about this. And why is that? Because it's an unlimited ocean of knowledge. And I feel like this is something that we should all indulge in, even though we think we might know, but at least once open the book and at least once try it. For example, when I was in high school, I remember I had this theory that if I have a question and I would go to the Bhagavad Gita and I would just open it, then it would answer my question, and it actually did. Every time, even though it looked like it was kind of far-fetched sometimes, but it just clicked somehow that it's, you know, it's helping me in this way. So I have this one last thing that I wanted to say. So Lord Chaitanya, he is Krishna himself, who came in Kali Yuga to show how we can practically apply this knowledge in today's world. Because it's really hard if you listen to the lectures, or for me at least, I always feel very, very tiny and small, because I don't read that much, and I just think that, wow, all these people, they know so much, they have so much knowledge, I wish I could have that, but, you know. And Lord and sometimes, you know, you feel like you can't, but Lord Chaitanya shows that in Kali Yuga it's also possible. And in one way, it's like, man mana bhava mat bhakto, always think of me, of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya explains that when we think of Krishna, we become purified, because Krishna is so pure. When we read the Bhagavad Gita, our thoughts become purified, because Krishna spoke it, therefore the Bhagavad Gita is pure. And therefore we should always chant Krishna's name. Please chant with me. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is a little bit what I wanted to speak about. I hope it was a little bit constructive. And if you have any comments or questions or anything else, please do contribute now. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Now, Gaurav the organizer of this wonderful Sunday feast will do a small performance. It's a very, very, very beautiful song, so please listen closely to the words. He's coming in shortly.
Usually we do performances with the Sunday Feast, and lately there haven't been any performances, so Madhu Gopal gave me a deal that if I did this today, that he would get a performance for every week. So, that being said, so everybody keep your eyes on Madhu Gopal, make sure he's doing his job. So this is a song about Vrindavan. Walk with me. Oh, 1 second. Walk with me. I forgot the words, actually, at this moment. There are a lot of you here, so it's kind of... Walk with me, something, I'll show you something you need. Walk with me, I'll show you something you need to see. A blue boy sitting playing flute. Walk with me, I'll show you something you need to see. A blue boy sitting playing flute in the tree. Pretty girls crying tears of ecstasy. Welcome home to Sri Vrindavan Dham. So welcome home to Sri Vrindavan Dham. The coward boys talk all day. Monkeys shriek, peacocks walk, coward boys, they play and talk. They're headed home to eat some sweets, feed the cows and hit the sheets. Sleep safe, you're in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Sleep safe, you're in Sri Vrindavan Dham. I don't wanna be here anymore. I wanna be in Vrindavan on the floor. Where the monkeys sit and play all day, peacocks they just dance away. I know I don't be right here. Vrindavan Dham said I'm getting near. Now on that day I leave my body behind. I only want one thing on my mind. That blue boy staring back at me. Hand out reach said he's waiting for me. I pray I pass away in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Said I pray I pass away in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Sorry, I haven't played in a long time. But now we're going to have our team led by Shri Prabhu. And, okay. And also at 4 o'clock today, we have a Bhagavad Gita reading all the way from like start to finish. So I think it goes from 4 to like 7. 30 maybe. So anyways, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu will sing and we'll all dance. Thank you.
paper. There was a paper you could read.
You're next to me, Bobby.
Rather in Krishna's song, but
Yashumatinanda.
Yashumatinanda. I don't know, I tried to find out.
Okay, good.